Here we go, guys. Night of the Living Dreads. I usually have the applause going, but that seemed to fuck up some shit with the my audio. So, hey, you know what that F-bomb reminded me of?
Warning.
That's right. The following video contains explicit language, which may be offensive to some viewers and or inappropriate for children. The content within this video is intended for mature audiences only. There you go. Like, so that covers all of our asses. Welcome, Scurry Face. Scurryface.com. Scurry Face over there. They're doing a scurrycation right now, and I'm kind of I'm lightweight fucking jealous, man. I mean, they're sitting out on a beach in Alabama. I mean, hanging out all of the
whole, in Alabama.
Yeah, he's an Alabama guy, man. I'm pretty sure that's where they have. Yeah, they got a little beach house that they rent every year. I mean,
we got beaches in Texas, so I mean, fuck. I mean,
come on, who wants to go to a beach in Texas? Who wants to do that? Nobody, especially in Waco.
No, fuck no.
Jackal Monkey, how are you, sir? Tell us a little bit about Nightmare Ninja Studios, real quick.
Yeah, man. Fucking, if you want a custom latex mask, hit me up. Nightmare Ninja Studios on Facebook. Got a lot of shit going right now for us. Like I said, I've been working on this movie for quite some time now. I've been writing it. It's been like 3 years now, almost as long as I've been working on masks. But
yeah,
finally, fucking got things going with that. Hopefully we'll get the ball rolling with that this next year, get our Indiegogo campaign launched, and I've been working in a few other things. Got Bubba the TV series I'm the producer of now, and I'm making a special mask for that as well. Yeah. Couldn't be fucking more excited about that. Meat Hook Massacre, the TV series. And I'm also doing I'm also a producer and making a mask for a movie coming out called Sleepy Hollow Slasher. Awesome. So I mean, like, got a lot of shit going on right now, man. I couldn't be more.
Your plate is full, man. Your plate is definitely full. Of course, as always, you can go over there to YouTube. Just type in Night of Living Dreads podcast. I got a whole playlist of all of our guests, including our guest tonight, Mr. Chaney Morrow. We're gonna talk to, and then of course, this show, like all of our other guests that we have on, will also be an audio version. So you can check that out if you're sitting at home there at nightofliveindreads.com or Spotify and Stitcher. So I guess without further ado, let's bring in Mr. Chaney. Chaney, how are you, sir?
What's going on, Modus? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, man, I'm doing great, bud. I'm doing great. Thank you for joining us. We were going to do the show last night, man. Some things unforeseen weird shit, happened. And
Tis the season, brother.
It's the season, man. All right, man. You have also a lot on your plate as well. You're working very closely with Mr. L.C. Holt in the movie Time's Up. And you guys also, have a little podcast that you guys do over there at L.C.'s page, I believe. Is that just where the only place that he puts it out there, right? His Facebook
page? Yeah, it's very specific to the project of Time's Up. And, every week, in an effort to kind of, keep it promoted, keep the buzz going and stuff. I mean, cause when you look at the cast, the people involved, it's awesome. You got Hannah Fearman, L.C. Holt, Damian Maffei, John Tiersten from, the original Sleepaway Camp. You got Felissa Rose in there, Rose.
Right.
It's to keep it buzzed up and to keep people informed on it and stuff. And, I just kind of acted in the film. Like, to me, it's just fun to do it with him. And I'm just happy to be able to do it with him, But as far as like the ins and outs of the production of the film, I know Dick. And I haven't asked too much, because I know it's a lot to deal with. And let's say I was just an actor and a friend, and I love those guys. So I'll do it with him every week. you know, but I know as much about the flick as you do, basically.
I'm excited. We had, as you know, Janie, we had LC on, about a month and a half ago or so. And
he spoke kindly of you too, man.
Well, we appreciate that. LC's a great guy, man. He was really fun to, talk to. And hopefully once, time's up is out and all of that hard work is done, we can have him back on to talk about all of the ins and outs and get some behind the scenes type stuff. But you've also done, a lot of other things. I want to talk specifically real quick about Wrong Turn.
Okay.
Because I think in a sense, a lot of people would say it was a little misleading because they're looking for the deformed hillbilly inbred type people. And I'm sorry, we'll try not to give, spoiler alert if there does become spoiler.
My opinion on spoilers is the movie's been out.
Right.
For like 6-7 months, it's on you, man. Fucking watch the movie. Like, I'm not gonna not talk about it. You give people a grace period, right? Like, it's the same asshole that says, like, don't tell me how the game ended. Be like, okay, well, don't get online until you get home and watch it, because we all fucking know. You give them a grace period. I'll give you, 2 weeks to watch that episode, but after that, it's fair game. I'm gonna talk about it.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. So fuck your spoiler alerts, because there will be some. Let's talk about this, because it does have it has shame on you. Shame on you, you whatever. but almost did a no-no. It does have kind of the same premise. Why don't you walk us through, the similarities? How strongly did it derive from the Wrong Turn franchise we all know?
It's the original, the one with Eliza Dushku, what's his name? Worthington? No, Desmond Harrington. Jeremy Sisto, who's been around for years. He was always awesome. You don't see enough of that guy. That was written by James. Now I'm not sure how quite to pronounce it. I never got to meet the man, but it was written by James McElroy or McElroy, however you pronounce it.
Okay, but yeah.
He wrote this one also. So this is the same guy that wrote the first one. He wrote it this one, and it was written, I think, very clearly for the times, right? Mm-hmm. And now I only watched the original Wrong Turn, and I watched part two, and I think maybe I caught glimpses of the rest, but they all seem to be just pure sex and murder.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is a bona fide classic, like,
sure.
If I was in high school at the time, and it reminds me of like the days of like when Cabin Fever was released or House of a Thousand Corpses. Like, those are the years I spent like in the theater as a growing, so I love it, but where it, and I think the writer is what ties it into the original, I think. Now, originally, the movie was called The Foundation. Wrong Turn.
Which actually makes more sense when you watch it.
Yes. And I thought that the title itself let you know right away that this was a different direction, in the same vein, but a different direction. But they dropped The Foundation and kept it Wrong Turn and called it a remake. And I think that was just a distribution thing.
Probably.
Like a deal they had to make to get it out there quicker, perhaps. And I got no complaints about it, but I think that's why that's such an often asked question, is because a lot of people don't know that originally it was exactly to be geared that way, as to tell you within the title that this is this, but we're steering it this way.
Mm-hmm.
You got Batman and this is Gotham City.
It makes sense, right?
Yeah. But I'm actually, what I love about the remake that I was in, I always call it The Foundation because that's what my fucking script says.
Right.
That's what it said. It said The Foundation. So what's really great about it is where McElroy kicked it up a notch was where it and like I said, it ties in with the times we kind of live in. It's like three generations of people,
right,
kind of arguing with each other. You got your old, you know, your pre-Civil War community, you got your young millennials, and then you got, you know, the Nate Rhodes character, what he stands for, just those people living in the town.
Right.
And you see all of them clash, but eventually, hey, those old timers, they save the day, don't they? Hey, he comes up, saves them, gets them out of there. That's what I always like. Plus, I like the actor very much that plays Nate Rhodes, and I like that character a lot. And I actually got to read him at our first table read because he wasn't available for it. So Mike Nelson asked if he would mind if I read it. So I read it, and I read the shit out of it, man. knowing the whole time, I was like, this is a role like very specifically written for a man like in his late 50s. I was like, but I'm going to maybe I'll change his mind. You know, I did.
Trying to steal the man's part.
I didn't, but it bought me some props with the other cast because they heard me read in two completely different voices,
right?
And accents.
Right.
So they're like, "Oh, who's this guy?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm just a dude. I live 45 minutes up the road. I was the cheapest possible option for this gig. Name's Shane. Good to meet you.
You're right. Cheers."
That was the cheapest possible option, I guess. But no, when I Mike Nelson actually hired me on the spot, man, it was the coolest audition I've ever had, ever. And for a movie of that, you know, like budget compared to what I was in, and I had done Haunt, but this this budget was kicked up quite a notch. Haunt, there was a waiting period to where, you know, you almost give up the whole damn thing and go to marketing or something because you're like, man, I'm never going to land shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that. And then wrong turn, Mike hired me on the spot. Like I got the call on the way home from the place. It was the greatest news I ever got, man. Aside from, you know, like the birth of the kids kind of thing, the greatest news I ever got. Cause I didn't have to wait for it. I got to literally go back to work with the coolest fucking news
that's awesome
anyone had ever heard before, you know?
Right. That's great. That's great. Jackal Monkey, I know you are chomping at the bits to ask Shane something. I know you got so much shit you want to say, so go ahead, Mom.
I mean, Jesus Christ, I don't even know where the fuck to start.
No, he's not here. He didn't answer my text, so I wasn't able to say. I sent him the link, but I don't think good old JC is going to be here. But Chaney is, I mean, he's good enough, right?
No shit. Hey, fuck yeah, man. Fucking, but yeah, man, I don't know, man. One of the things, I fucking loved your performance in Haunt. Like I say, you were probably my favorite fucking character in Haunt. How long did it take to get into fucking makeup for that, man?
The makeup, like the prosthetic number, like that was saved for a very specific day. And I only had to wear it for one night. The rest of the time when I was under that mask, I didn't have that on.
Right.
It was set for one specific night, and it took about 3 hours. And my ears like started pulsing and it started aching after about 6 minutes.
Oh shit.
Cause I had to kind of tie and glue the ears down, and I've got big fucking ears. So when they did, like, the cartilage just kind of started to ache, and I couldn't, and the shittiest part, and I loved the makeup. Don't get me wrong. I fucking loved every second of it. Like once it was all done, man, I had the time of my life, but I could not, like, we had to break for dinner halfway through it. So I had to go out with everybody else with this. I looked like Mason Verger without the hair and stuff. I looked like Gary Oldman in Hannibal. And I couldn't eat through my mouth. And Katie Stevens, the main gal, Harper, fantastic. Like they all came up and was staring at me like, Jesus, dude. Like, wow. They're like, can you eat? Do you want us to feed you? She said, do you want me to? I'm like, I can't. I can't. Like, I can't. I can't. I didn't eat that night. It was just too difficult to get in the makeup. And they said, you know, don't drip anything in it. I was too worried about, you know, fucking up the makeup. So I didn't. But it was a night that there were ribs, dude. It was ribs. It was a rib dinner. That's the night of dinner I missed out on, was a rib dinner. Barbecued ribs.
Son of a bitch.
Now, the food there was spectacular. It was, I mean, incredible. But that was, I was really looking forward to ribs, and I didn't get to eat
Right. And you said that this day was specifically set aside to do that. Do you think that that was kind of fucking planned there, man?
Well, if it was, it's like a huge middle finger to me.
Right. I mean, that's pretty shitty.
Like, I was still so, like, you know, minuscule in the whole, you know, the whole.
Right.
Like the universe of it. I'm like, no, I don't think I did it to piss me off. What would they care? I didn't give them any food preference. I was just happy that every meal they served was so damn good.
Right.
So good.
But ribs, dude. I mean.
Ribs, man. Barbecue. I'm sitting there watching them eat barbecued ribs, and you just got like a quiet tear coming down this prosthetic. because I couldn't see worth a shit with the milky eye contacts and stuff, man. I had to be walked. To the set, and Andrew, the fellow that played Evan, the fellow that I, you know, killed with the hammer, he seen the designs, but he opted not to see me until the actual reveal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we took precautions around that, and you know, I got to tell you, man, I think Haunt, its major strength is their cast, because Caldwell was good, Will Britton was great. They were all so good. And the asshole, like in the movies, like movies like this, there's always an asshole that you can't stand, right?
Mm. Right.
Well, there was. He was painted that way. But I think by the time he goes, by the time I kill him, you kind of like him. Like he's not an asshole anymore.
Yeah, you feel bad left. For him.
Like he still stayed there for them. You know, he did not abandon his friends, whether he was an asshole or not. Like, he didn't. And I just dig it. I think the performances were great. From all the good guys, I think the bad guys were spectacular. Damian Maffei is always a fucking, you know, he's always a sweet little guitar solo, man, wherever he is.
He's the movie was,
like, I couldn't have been happier with it. Like, its longevity, like, no one knew how awesome it was going to be, but I think everybody kind of had a feeling that it was going well, you know, because you got Beck and Woods, and the buzz around the set was that they got this new movie, A Quiet Place. It's supposed to be really fucking awesome. And we had wrapped filming before that came out, but when I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, Haunt's going to be dope. Haunt's going to be dope. Like, it's going to be dope. And it was, man. Like, I couldn't be happier with
it. It really was. Yeah. If you haven't watched it, shame on you. Go ahead, Jack. Yeah,
That was one. It actually, the year it came out, that was actually fucking horror movie of the year for me, man.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Thank you. Beck and Woods, thank you, man. I know they would appreciate that muchly. So would Dave. Yeah. So would everybody. On behalf of all them, I say thank you.
Well, I think it's in the same breath. You know, I said the same thing. We had David Howard Thornton on. I had him on about a year or so ago. I think right around when the pandemic started and whatnot, he was still working on Terrifier 2. And I mean, but when I first saw that movie, probably a couple of years prior to that, when I first saw that, I was like, this is like a breath of fresh air into, you know, horror movies, because it always seemed to be the same repetitive shit over and over and over. And it just, to me, and I don't know if this was, you know, this way with you, Chaney, but to me, it seemed like it just got so damn monotonous, man. I mean, it was the same, almost the same story, the same, you know, nothing new. We needed new blood, you know, in the way of a good film. And The Haunt was that way. Terrifier was that way. What do you think about that?
I couldn't agree with you more, man. And I think what separates Haunt from those films where we seem to just rely on body count, right? Like that's what it kind of became, is you're just waiting for the kills. Like they're more torturous than anything. What they lack is character. Sure. And sometimes they just lack good actors. And that's where Haunt set itself apart. I think it was a movie about a girl, you know, an abused girl conquering her fears, who just happened to end up in a haunted house where she had to actually conquer them, and she survived like a fucking beast.
Right.
Right. Conquers her fear. Now there's a DVD edition, but you know, there's a lot of shit, you know, that was filmed that wasn't in, you know, the cut that we see. I can't speak much further about it. But I what I like about Haunt, what separates it from that generation of these movies where we only care about the kills and the tits, mm-hmm. you know, like is that this movie was based around just a character, and you put in a couple of people that are good enough to, I call it the Deborah Winger effect, or the Ben Foster effect. Put in a couple people into a role that no matter how few lines they got, they leave such an impression
mm-hmm.
that you remember their name when the movie rolls. You know, be like, who was that? Who was that?
Right.
I think in Haunt focused more on the, you know, the heart of a person in an extreme mm-hmm. circumstance, rather than an extreme circumstance seeing who can die the nastiest.
Yeah. Right. That makes sense. And that's very true. That's very, very true. It's a great movie. I'm about to watch that again tonight, by the way. Let's just step back, because maybe we jumped a little ahead, you know, talking about all, you know, the projects that, you know, you're working on, that you've been in. How'd you get started in this? You're kind of a local boy here. Actually, you're only about, what, 20-some minutes up the road from me right now, which is kind of like weird.
13, really. Like 13.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're roughly closer about 13, than the dispensary 13. That I go to.
No shit. You're closer. You're closer than the guy I go see. I got one of them fancy dispensary things, man.
But how did you?
Sounds like a lot of red tape.
It's not really. It's actually pretty cool. we'll go into more detail when we hang out and have a beer.
Yes.
But how'd you get started in acting? Was this always something you wanted to do? I know that's kind of a redundant question, but did you go to school around, I mean, because, you know, you're from the Ohio area. Did you go to, you know, school here? Have you lived here all your life?
I started the acting thing. And I realized that I knew I liked, you know, the attention and stuff mm-hmm. like at a very young age. I liked being funny. Right. I liked entertaining the adults, like when they would laugh. I knew that. And that's like my first memory, is just trying to make them laugh. As far as film goes, I used to confuse Tom Cruise with Charlie Sheen when I was a really little boy.
I can see that.
Yeah, I think it was the slick back hair, and this is the days of like Top Gun and Wall Street, right. You know, so I thought they were the same. But when my dad explained to me they were different dudes, and then he also explained that that's a job, like they're actors and they play pretend, they tell stories, and we watch them. And I remember asking, I was like, they get paid for that? Right. And he says, yeah, a lot. A lot. It's like they're called celebrities. I'm like, yeah. I mean, they get paid a lot, you know, probably too much. And I remember, like, right then, man, I must have been 4, maybe 5 years old. I'm like, well, that's what I want to do.
Right.
Hell yeah. Right.
I started theater, I think, officially in like second grade. I got my first professional theater gig in first professional film gig, actually. It was for an independent film filmed in Dayton. Otis, you may have heard us back in the day, man. The Dreamcatcher by Ed Ratke.
It sounds familiar.
It's like 1996, 97. Uh-huh. I was in sixth grade. I was a paper boy in it. My scene was cut, but I was basically an extra. When you watch the movie, like, you can see me as a paper boy free. But the movie was huge for a second, but the fact that no one's fucking heard of it, you know.
Right.
Then I went further in theater, because there's one, you know, Victoria Theater, the Human Race Theater Company, Otis. You mm-hmm. heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
I'd started working for them in sixth grade. Again, in eighth grade, And again, once more in high school. So that was me building with like the only professional theater company in town, trying to build a name. But,
right,
you know, I was a pissed off teenager in East Dayton high school. Even though I went to art schools, I still made plenty of mistakes that, you know, didn't need to be made.
Right.
You know,
especially in East Dayton.
And I also played music the whole time, too. That didn't help. But I was, you know, in rock bands, and I, you know, I had to be a dick all the time or something.
Here's the funny thing, Janie. I actually work with a guy. His name is Chris. His brother actually played in the band with you. He knows you quite well. Says he hasn't seen you in about 3 years.
Chris,
I couldn't even tell you his last name, man. But yeah, I mean, he was like, man, I was telling him about this, you know, this interview.
Play keyboard? And
I don't know. I mean, I think it was Chris's brother, and I couldn't even tell you what Chris's brother's name is.
Shit.
But he was the one that apparently was in a little band with you. So that right there is absolute truth. Wikipedia fact or
small
fiction?
Small fucking world, man. Small world. Small world.
After
high school, like I had done the acting thing up through, I went to Stivers, which was like an art school. Mm-hmm. I was there for theater. After that, I went to Sinclair, did all the acting classes they could offer, you know, mm-hmm. everything. What I didn't do was focus on the other shit. And I had the choice where I could and then go to Wright State and complete this degree. But I made the decision that I felt like I had learned all the major acting techniques, you know.
You had the basics, Stanislavski,
I'd learned all that stuff. And what you got to do is take all that shit. And all the training is very important. It's what separates shitty actors from good ones. You know, it is important. But eventually you got to decide what works best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, you know, I didn't want to have to go to like Algebra 3 for a fucking acting degree. It was retarded to me. Right. It was ridiculous. I mean, because I would never pass it. Like, because I didn't give a shit. Yeah. I'm like, no, right. I don't care. So I used all the resources available there, made some wonderful friends. I had the greatest fucking acting coach, you know, you could ever possibly have. He taught me the importance of it. He helped me hone, like, discipline myself. I have absolutely nothing bad to say about Sinclair. It was fantastic. Best years of my life. So I didn't go to Wright State, but I did some projects there because people knew me from Sinclair. And then one short film led to another, and then Haunt, you know, 2 years later.
Wow. So that was my next question. You know, how soon after you did all the schooling did, you know, your first big gig happen? And then you said that was Haunt 2 years after you did all the schooling at Sinclair.
The shittiest part about this gig is like sometimes you just never know what's coming next. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was still doing plays, and it had been a while. And then I get the audition for Haunt. And I do the audition while I'm doing the play King Lear, like at a college, like not one I was going to, but I was doing the role of Edmund the Bastard in King Lear mm-hmm. at this college. And oddly enough, at the audition, I ran into my director there, and he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "What the fuck are you doing here?" I was like, "We both got rehearsal in like 3 hours, man." I was like, "Don't worry, I'll be there." You know, we were there, but he also, you know, had the same agent and was out for it. And I got called back fairly quickly. And I went and did the callback, and I didn't realize at the time that I was in front of Beck and Woods, like the actual writer directors. I had no idea. They didn't tell you shit. There's just a line of assholes waiting out there. All you know is there's like, you know, 25 other dudes going for the part. That's all you know. You know, so I had no idea. You just go in there and do it. But I think my instincts, like on the cold read, is just kind of what they wanted. And I didn't really have to do much work, man. I just went with my initial feelings and I drew the character out from that because they didn't, they liked what I did and said, just keep doing what you're doing.
Right. Fuck right. Yeah. I mean, there was a reason that I guess you were there. So you just got to do what the hell, you know, you do best. And
shit, you know, I'm sorry to answer your question earlier. It was about a long, it was a long time. Like I said, I was like one day away from stopping acting forever when wow. I got that call that said, hey, congrats, you booked a role in Eli Roth produced horror film. So I'm like, I dropped whatever I had in my hand. I'm like, you are fucking kidding me.
Man.
Like, you are kidding me. Like, really? That's great. It was great news, but I couldn't, I couldn't believe it, man. Blew me away.
I would have needed a bear aspirin and to sit down, you know, the old ticker. I don't know if that would have been able to take that.
I think I twisted one up, like went outside, sat down, thought about it, slowly got excited and then called some people, you know. But at that point, like, we didn't know who Beck and Woods was. So all I had to say was, I'm doing a movie. And, you know, around here, dude, people say, you tell them you're doing a movie. They say, okay, well, you know, eat dicks.
Yeah, I mean, that, who cares? God, who that cares? Is that
but
is
I'm like,
so
Eli Roth,
true.
Dude. Eli, and they said, no shit. I'm like, yeah, punk. Yeah. Yeah. Shame on you, like, saying, I'm an idiot for doing Shakespeare for free.
Right. Oh my God!
But I ended up doing fucker. Both of those simultaneously because I couldn't quit King Lear. I was too deep into it.
Right.
So I would film very late at night my scenes. After I would leave Springfield, drive to Kentucky. We would film all night. Then I'd come back. That only happened for 2 weeks, though. Oh, yeah.
That's not how far along? Yeah, how far along is Time's Up? I don't know if we mentioned that. How far into production is that?
We've fully wrapped, as far as I know. Our last live feed we did, LSD said they're about, I think, halfway or maybe a little more than halfway through their final edit.
The editing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Their final edit, but yeah. I think there's, you know, there's probably a couple pickup shots still need done, little things that, you know, happen at the end while you're editing where you're like, oh shit,
right.
I need a shot of that. Yeah. It happens in every flick, but
oh sure, sure. Yeah. Is there a projected release date, or is that not been set yet, just given how much time and extra time it could take in the editing
Man,
process?
I'm telling you, I'm the mushroom. They feed me shit and keep me in the dark.
Man, I love that line. I got to remember that one.
I'm just helping like promote the movie for my buddy, the writer director guy, you know, but
right.
I don't know much, man. I don't know much. LC keeps it pretty fucking like under lock and key.
Yeah,
which
well,
I really dig about him because that exactly. I'd be telling everybody everything.
I know, right?
He's got that writer's discipline where he just doesn't ruin shit, you know?
Yeah.
I know it's hard for me to, like, I'm like, hey, you got this fucking sculpt I'm working on. Like, they're like, God damn it, I thought you weren't supposed to show anybody. I'm like, I'm not, but check it out.
No, I'm basically Ruffalo. Like I will spoil shit. Like I got to be real careful about what I say.
Yeah,
I may have said too much about Haunt. Honestly, I may have said too much about that.
Well, all right, well then,
Beck and Woods are gonna fucking send a hit squad to my house.
Keep them out of fucking Fairborn. well then let's just switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about Dark Waters. You were a little farmer or something. Let's talk about that. What was that all about?
Man, I
2019.
I did the audition, and originally I was auditioning for a different part. It was the young version of the farmer that brings the case to Rob Billett's attention, who's played by Ruffalo,
mm-hmm.
but they cut the scene. But Todd Haynes, the director, liked that first audition so much that he said, I want him in there. Somebody's like, so have him play. So they wrote, literally, he had Mario, and his name escapes me, man. He's the guy that came in and did like the treatment on the final script. They wrote this scene that where it just, the scene itself is to help show you the effect and the neglect that this issues had on the community and the neglect of like the government. So mm-hmm. when the farmer comes up and guilt trips him, you know, talking about you're supposed to help my brother and you know, you didn't, mm-hmm. you know, you left behind three boys, you earned yours, but you enjoy your family, you know, that shit. So ultimately when the movie was over, as grateful as I was as a movie critic myself, I'm like, that fucking scene could have been cut right out of the movie. And it wouldn't have made a difference. But the reason it wasn't is because Todd Haynes just liked me so much. And it still blows my mind. Right. That he just liked the performance and Ruffalo, the producer, liked it.
Yeah, I see. That's fucking
dope, man. And it blew my mind. And meeting Ruffalo, man, you got like you, I'll tell you what, you don't know what you really got in you until you meet the guy that plays the Hulk. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, to me, it was like meeting, like, you know, Robert Downey Jr., fucking Hoffman, Philip Seymour Hoffman, if he was alive, was wild, man. He walks into the trailer, just a normal fucking dude, man. He says, hey, I'm Mark. I'm the guy you're yelling at today. And we're in makeup. I was like, no, Mark. I was like, hey, I was like, all jokes aside, man. I was like, that's not how I was going to play it. Should I play it that way? Should I be pissed? Like, oh,
right.
So it sent me through, you know, I was terrified up into the scene, but it was a three take bit, man. Anne Hathaway was there. She was in the scene. She was just as beautiful in real life as she is on screen, but she's so good. Such a good actress.
Yeah.
She was very, very nice to me. And Ruffalo compared me to Sam Rockwell, right to my face, right to my face. Yeah, and that's like my hero. That's my dude. They did the movie Safe Men together years ago, and wow. They've been really good friends ever since. He said, "You remind me of my buddy Sammy."
Holy shit! Like,
and I was like, "Sammy, who?"
He said, "Davis Jr."
Yeah, no, I almost shit myself.
Well, fuck yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, no, shit, man. You like, got...
Dark Waters was a so, so great. Just, I got, again, wonderful, wonderful experience.
Wonderful. All right. Now, I'd like to even break away from the movies that you have done. Let's just talk about movies in general, watching LC's Time's Up, you know, little live that he does. You know, that you guys do the little, you know, movie trivia kind of thing. You kind of are the king at that. You hold the reins there. No, and I did.
That's bullshit. LC's better than me. LC is now not by much, but he is better. If I had to rank us, like since we started our game that we created it together, or we kind of solidified it together on the set of On Location, which is now called Terror Trips.
Yes.
He is better because to play the game that me and my father created, you almost have to be kind of a historian and you have to use certain hints to your advantage.
Some of the questions, one of the last ones that I seen, I don't know if you guys did it this week. I don't even think I was able to catch the entire show this past Friday, but Friday's at 8 p.m. Eastern. But I think it might have been the week before you guys were doing that with, what was her name?
Hannah Fearman. Yeah.
Yes. When you guys
one and only, man, she is an absolute treasure. She's an American treasure.
She seemed very, very cool. Now she's also she's on Time's Up as well, right? Yeah,
she is.
Because I mean, LC pretty much has you know. But
no, anyway. I weaseled my way into Time's Up.
Did you?
Yes, I did. The movie was put to, you know, who was supposed to play my part originally was David Howard Thornton.
Holy fuck.
They were solidifying, like, you know, the whole casting thing while we were on set of On Location, and seemed like everybody, every heavy hitter in the room was in on this, and I couldn't stomach the idea of not having a piece myself. So I quietly kind of rooted for, like, they kept saying they don't know if David can do it or not. So I was quietly hoping that he wouldn't. And he couldn't. Like, I don't know if it was a scheduling thing, and, you know, it was a scheduling issue. He couldn't be there. But as soon as I heard he said, like, they signed him, they said that he's going to do it. That hurt my feelings a little bit, but it's the business. And they, you know, they didn't owe me shit. I knew they had it under it. It hurt my feelings because I was jealous. Right, but he ended up falling out, and I did get to slip into that. So thank you, David, for if David hadn't pulled out of that, I wouldn't have got, you know, a couple days with my boys in Maine.
Awesome.
But, hell yeah.
Here's a two-part question then. That way we've established that you're pretty knowledgeable when it comes to movies. Here's a two-part question. First, all genres across the board, favorite all-time movie and why, and then let's get specific with a horror.
Do I have to like the movie that is so favored? Or can
I mean,
so highly favored that it doesn't matter if I like it or not. It's just a
no, kind of your favorite one that you have.
Oh,
you
one would, that I love.
That you would sit down and watch any day of the week across all genres of movies, and then specifically horror.
One movie that isn't a horror that I can watch any time of the day, any day. It's called Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead.
I've never heard of that.
Dude, it's the most underrated, underspoken about gangster film of all time. Dude, Andy Garcia, Treat Williams, William Forsythe, Christopher Walken, Bill Cobbs, Gabriel Anwar, Bill Nunn, Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, come on!
The list goes on, man. That's one I can watch anytime. It's the most awesome. It's my favorite gangster movie of all time, and everyone always talks about Goodfellas and fucking Godfather. I'm like, there's other shit, and this one I love because I think Andy Garcia, like, I think Godfather 3 was a mistake. For him, I don't think we got to see the real Garcia, like the real gangster Garcia we wanted.
Right,
and Jimmy the Snake. This movie is its own universe. It blows my mind, and I think Gary Fleeter directed it, if I'm not mistaken. Gary Fleeter. This movie creates a universe within it for just 2 hours that you care about so many people. It's fucking hard to watch at times. It's wonderful. I strongly recommend it. It's my favorite gangster movie of all time.
Awesome.
Fucking Ed.
Yes. Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead.
I'll have to check that
out. And there's a reason it's called that. You just got to watch a movie. And I think maybe the title hurt it or something. Right? Maybe the title hurt its potential because it wasn't. No one fucking watched it when it came out. I think it came out like 96, 97.
Wow.
No one watched it. I think the name may have thrown them off, but I think it's the coolest name ever.
No, I was sold just by the name. I'm like, I've never heard
Things
of this.
To Do in Denver When
I've
You're
got
Dead.
To watch it. Yeah, I've got to watch that Things with a title like that. All right, now, non-horror or horror movies now. Your favorite horror movie of all time. And let's go a little deeper. Why is it your favorite horror movie, whichever one you pick?
Favorite horror movie of all time. Okay, that's such a broad thing. So I'll go with what I like. I know what my first favorite was. because I'm a slasher guy. If I had to pick a genre, that's what I prefer. I just prefer slasher stuff. I like it when when you have some people to care about. You know, I like it to be, you know, no one wants to read a story that well, there's no one to care about. Mm-hmm. But if I would go any Elm Street between Elm Street 3. And I really like 4. I really like 1. I really like 2. But part 1 kind of bores me at times.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some shit in it that doesn't make sense. And you have to suspend complete belief or complete disbelief in all that shit, because there's always something that don't make any fucking sense. But I'm talking just character wise. The first horror movie I remember watching as a child is Elm Street Part 3, The Dream Warriors. And I remember Kincaid was like a fucking superhero to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because his dreams, he was super strong. So, I mean, he was, and I must have been like, man, 5, fucking maybe 6 years old when I saw that. And Part 4, I love it because also as I grew older, I saw Part 4 next. I fell in love with Rick. And they not only do they kill fucking Kincaid, they fucking kill Rick too.
So you sons of bitches.
Horseshit. Horseshit. No, I introduced it to my son a few days ago and he was just as upset that Rick died. And you remember the sequence when Rick comes out of the coffin?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it says it was just a joke. He kept saying, he's like, Dad, no, he's not. I'm like, and I'm over here like damn near on the verge of tears. Like, no, son, no. Just listen. Yay. Like, listen, quit talking. She daydreams.
Right. Right. Hold on.
But I would have to go Elm Street 1 because it's the first one I saw. And 2, it appeals to my slasher sensibilities. And I just love the Warriors, the Dream. I love every one of them. There's a little piece of me in every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mainly Kincaid and the Wizard Master.
Hell yeah.
No, mainly absolutely. Them. Yeah. Yeah. Is there any, you know, we got some, I guess big movies coming up, Halloween Kills, of course, is there any movie horror-wise that you're looking forward to see, or some that you're like, why are they doing this again?
You know, I was just asked that just the other night, man, when me and LC were talking, and this is what I had to revert it to. I'm not, aside from Candyman, which I think might be pretty interesting, and I think the Hellraiser reboot might be interesting, and watching people get mad that Pinhead isn't a man is so fucking funny to me. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, it's just goofy. Like, that's in the Hellbound Arts. It was a female, for fuck's sake.
Right.
Clive Barker, that's what I was about to say. Yeah, in the book.
But aside from those, what I would prefer to do is promote or speak about a horror flick that I think not enough people have seen.
Okay. What would that be?
There are 2, actually. That I've watched this past month, that I've watched them. I could only watch one of them 3 times. The other one was too goddamn effective that I watched it just once. And then I watched another part of it once. So technically I only watched it once all the way through. It's too deep, too heavy. Slasher flick called Vicious Fun.
I've seen that.
It's a Shudder original.
Yeah,
it has the most charismatic son of a bitch. I think the actor's name is Ari Millen, if I'm not mistaken. The most charismatic dude. Like, I wanted to retire when I watched the movie because I realized this was a dream role. And he did so much great shit with it that I don't think I could actually do that he did. Like, I don't even think it would. I don't think I'm there. So it was it's intimidating. The movie is brutal, nasty, vicious fun, just like the title, but it's a lot of fun from start to finish. And Ari Millen will keep your ass laughing out loud from start to finish. But not in a comedic way, just the way that he is. It's remarkable. Another movie, the one I could only get through once, was called Exhibit A. A British found footage film about the disintegration of a family. That's the best way to put it.
Wow.
It was like a peek into like that troubled family's window, like the family on your street, you know, that you hear the parents always yelling at each other and shit.
Right, right.
But it's so dark, and I don't know if you guys have kids or anything, but
all mine are moved out. I have a grandkid.
So I've got one.
Oh no shit. Okay, then yes, it's heavy in that regard. Like if you're a family man, you can. In I think the most special part about it, I won't tell you too much more about it other than that, is that aside from like the, you know, the brutal events that transpire, you don't really hate anybody, you know. You don't hate the dad, you don't hate the mom. It's everybody's kind of, it's literally a, if anything, a communication breakdown, but you don't hate anybody. It's just watching events unfold, and it's like you're in the room and you can't do shit.
You just sort of hate the fucked off situation that they're in.
Yeah, but there's no, but you honestly feel like you can change it, but then you realize you can't, and you're like, damn, this is a good flick. Jesus Christ.
Son of a bitch. Goddamn, I'm going to put this on my list too.
I took it off the first night because I think I had like some drinks, like when I was watching it, and emotionally it took me a little further.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it would take some. Okay, no. We finish this tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't do this
like
shit.
My daughter's in the room, for Christ's sakes. You know, like, Jesus. Nah.
Right. That's crazy. Well, damn, you know, I'm gonna have to, I guess, put myself through.
Go
ahead.
I'd be a total fucking asshole, man, if I didn't mention this. I'm sorry. Miss Hannah Fearman is directing a film.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Brian James Carmichael, I believe is his name. If I know his name is Brian, if I mispronounce his last name, Brian, I'm sorry. Starring Kate Kiddo, Hannah Fearman. I don't know if she's in it. I know she's directing it. Damian Maffei, Kamara Cole. Topher Hansen, all these cats that worked on the movie is called The Events Surrounding a Peeping Tom, and there's an Indiegogo up for it right now. And I got to tell you, I've read the script. It's fucking fabulous.
And
I heard that their campaign was effed up a little bit by because the algorithms of Facebook, like a lot of people didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, pretty fucked up because their time is running out. So if anything, man, like take a look, because I got to look at the promos, look at everything. The talent is there. This flick, Peeping Tom, is the best script I've ever read. Period.
Holy shit.
Wow.
It is the best script I've ever read. Now, granted, you know, I've read a lot, but most of them are already movies that have been made.
Right, right.
Yeah,
but this is still the best original idea I have ever read, and I'm still pissed that I'm not involved somehow. You know, because it's just so good. But the cast they got is so good. I'm just jealous that I can't be there to see it. You know.
Right. Right.
But I strongly recommend anybody that supports film like that, independent film, man. This is the film to get behind because it's lightning in a bottle. Like the events surrounding a Peeping Tom is lightning in a bottle. I can't tell you much more about it other than the people in it are awesome. Hannah Fearman's great, and it'd be a real treat. And the perks are pretty dope. You can be in the movie. You can be a producer. You know, there's all kinds of cool shit that they're offering.
Awesome. Awesome. I've seen Indiegogo do that. You know, I mean, yeah, a lot of people, you know, a lot of good enticements to, you know, get involved and support, you know, indie horror flicks or just indie flicks, period. Exactly. Speaking of indie flicks, we got about 5 minutes left. Jackal Monkey, I'm gonna give you the mic here, man. Some final words for Mr. Chaney Marum.
Yeah, fucking thank you for joining us, man. It's fucking been a pleasure, man, getting to pick your brain a little bit.
My pleasure, man. This was a lot of fun. This was awesome.
Hell yeah. Shit, do you have any other projects that you might be working on in the near future that
I am at the moment? I just okay, damn it, man. Nowadays I don't know what the hell I'm allowed to say. You know, like I don't want to piss anybody off, but exactly. A really awesome portion of the team behind Terror Trips, that movie.
Mm-hmm.
We're all doing something here coming up. A few people. It's for it's a short. I can say that we're doing a short for a very specific reason. The rest of the stuff, I don't want to speak on it until I have it set in stone, you know?
Right. Hell yeah.
That's understandable. If I
spoke about it now, then I'd be asked what went wrong and that'd be humiliating as fuck.
Yeah.
Wants to talk about what they didn't get. We're any actor will tell you there's more that we didn't get than we did.
Yeah.
I'd also recommend that documentary Val. I would recommend that.
You know what? Yes, it's about Val Kilmer. I came across that in my news feed. And I happened to watch like the little trailer for it. I was completely dumbfounded that he had a fucking trachea.
My father, I think, put it the best. The movie is fantastic, but if you're a Val Kilmer fan, it's a must watch. But if you're not a Val Kilmer fan, it's a must watch.
Okay.
I asked what he meant about it. I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but it is really I grew up on him.
Yeah,
you know,
me as well.
In his absolute prime, like
The Doors, one of my favorite movies. You know,
watching him speak through that thing, man, it just hurts your, it just fucking kills you.
That hurts your soul.
It's like watching a superhero, you know, show weakness or something.
Yeah.
Not that it's a weakness or anything. It was a choice he had to make. He survived the cancer, but the radiation treatment destroyed his vocal cords.
Mm.
You know, do you want to live? You know, you want to stay alive? And so he made the right choice. It's just unfortunate.
Unfortunate.
Man of a million voices, really.
Yeah.
Can't talk the same no more.
One of my favorites, The Doors, because I was a huge Doors fan growing up. So I loved his portrayal of Jim Morrison.
Oh, they detail that in the documentary, man. The whole way he got that role. You got to watch it, dude.
Oh, well, I have to go see it now. It's on Hulu, right? Is it Hulu?
No, it's Amazon.
Amazon,
it's an Amazon
Prime?
Original. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Have you watched Wonderland, Otis?
I have not.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, that's a fucking good one.
Oh, it's great. Honestly, it was the second to last movie that Val did before the kind of steep and those that if you look at his resume, you'll see kind of where it starts to go down with the quality of films.
Right.
But
it was that Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which I thought was fucking awesome, and he was great. After that, man, I don't know if it was, personal issues, but he stopped working for a while and he never came back the same.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I always noticed, man. It was like one minute, you know, Val was something in Hollywood, and then he just disappeared off the face of the plane and you didn't hear anything.
He spent a good 20 years in there, though, man. I mean, that's a hell of
a
run.
Oh, absolutely. No, no.
That's a hell of a run.
Very, very memorable. So there you go, guys. Off the horror topic, go check out Val. Amazon original. I've seen that come up my feed. I've seen the the trailer, and it was a little heartbreaking because
it's a fantastic actor, man. It's literally just to tell about life, you know, and like how fragile it is. I mean, that's cliche, but I don't know how better to put it.
Very, very true.
You can have the world in your hands, man. You know, something like this happens.
And
his son narrates in a second. And he's great. You know,
his son does. Interesting. Yeah.
Well, sounds a lot like his daddy.
Does he? Yeah. I'm definitely. I got to watch that. Yeah, I watch it. Chaney, thank you so much again, man, for coming on again. We are definitely gonna have to get together sometime in person, man, and just, you know, sit and BS, talk, you know, more about horror movies and
the whole
acting thing.
You're a giant's stone throw away from me. You about 12 to 15 minutes, depending on red traffic. Lights.
Yeah, red lights there by the Nutter Center. hey, man, just hold on, though, Chaney. Don't go nowhere. I'm just going to put you in the backstage. I want to say bye to you once we, you know, get off the live. We're going to close things up, so hang tight, brother. Man, what a great guy, man. I feel like I already know him because, you know, watching you know, him and LC, and then him just being, like you said, a giant stone throw from me. I mean, I feel like we're neighbors.
Yeah. He's such an awesome fucking dude. Yeah, humble fucking guy, man. I mean, awesome. Just an awesome fucking dude, man.
Well, Jackal Monkey, thank you. I know you have to run because you're going off, heading off to, I think, Skellington Curiosities. They are doing their thing. Our buddy Chaos Unwritten, Squeaks, all of them over there. They're out there at Skellington Curiosities. If you're in the Waco area, that's where you need to be. So I guess we'll make this, you know, short and sweet. Thank you guys in the chat room. We really appreciate you guys coming and joining us. It's what a good way to end the weekend. So, hey, with that being said, enjoy your Monday for whatever it's fucking worth, I guess. Hey, we'll see you next week.